Welcome to MMA on the Rocks. My name is Bill Welker. You are listening to Picks and Pours, episode 16, the weekly segment where I bring my buddy Matt the Mechanic on. He gives me his picks for the upcoming UFC fights, and I ridicule him mercilessly. So, with no further ado, Matt, how you doing?
Pretty good, Bill. Did you see the breaking news?
What's the breaking news?
We landed on the moon for the first time since 1969, this article I'm reading says. And I don't think that's correct.
Because you don't think we landed on the moon in 1969?
No, I mean, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure they went back a couple more times after 1969, didn't they?
Did they land, though?
Yeah. I thought they went there like three or four times. Oh, well.
I don't know.
We got a device on the moon. And it reminds me of Twister because it's equipped with a bunch of these little balls, silver balls, that are going to somehow go around.
All I know is Buzz Aldrin punched a reporter for asking if the moon landing was fake, and that's my favorite moment in space history.
But he also said it was fake, too, at one point.
No, that was disproven.
I don't know. My algorithm's because... all... full of space shit today. They were talking about he went to Antarctica. Yeah. Oh, well.
So, he was just like, they put some little kid up to asking him if the moon landing was fake. And he's like, is that what you want me to say? You want me to tell you that the moon landing was fake? Well, it was fake. But that doesn't sound like an 8-year-old question. Did a grown-up put you up to this? And, taken out of context... like they took the clip of him saying like, yeah, we never went to the moon. It wasn't real.
What was the name of that device on Twister?
Oh gosh, I don't remember.
Daisy.
It was something like that.
Some woman. Well, we now have one of those on the moon. Sponsored by Columbia. Columbia's on the front of it.
Awesome.
Anyway, fights. We got
some
fights.
This podcast is sponsored by Early Times. Maybe not the podcast, but my opinions will be sponsored by Early Times Bourbon. Let's get into the fight, shall we? UFC Mexico City.
Oh, so, we need to update an update for the year.
Oh, yeah. What are your standings? You didn't have a great week.
We're back in the hole. 38 cents.
All right. Well, could be worse.
It definitely could be worse. I think the boys on... Kenny Florian's like minus 800 for the year, so I'm good.
Yeah, I'll take the 38 cents then. Was Marab
I don't think he's betting with real money. I am, but I think I can spare the 38 cents. I had another one. I think I had two. I can find it real quick. I had Ian Garry. I owe a shot too for
Ian Garry. Should have lost though.
I think you need to watch that fight again and take your bias out of it.
I don't have any bias. I don't care who wins.
I think
that
you
fight.
Have bias. I think you down deep down, everyone has a little bit of bias against Ian Garry. But
I genuinely don't. In fact, I want to see him do well. I would love to see him get in there with like Rachmanov. I think that would be a fun fight.
No, see, you don't like him. You want to fight Rachmanov?
Well, yeah, that's a great fight. I don't think he's going to get killed. Now, if I said I want to see Rachmanov maul him, then I would have. But I really don't have any. Like, I don't really think much of anything about the guy.
Well, looking at that, it reminded me that I lost a shot bet, the Robert Whittaker one.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just gonna go ahead and. Everybody, we'll just do my pick. What is it called? Hot take of the week.
Okay.
So, the announcement of the main event of UFC 300 happened Saturday night, and I think it is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, disclaimer: me the night I watched the 300, I'm super pumped. I'm going to be happy. But I think we're led to believe that UFC 300 was going to be one of those spectacles that everyone enjoys. The anything that has to do with Conor, but you know, the fights that I walk around work and people are all buzzing about, and it had the momentum and it fell on its face this week. I walked around today because I knew I was going to have to do this. I asked 9 people, 6 at work, 3 at the jiu-jitsu gym, will they buy this pay-per-view now? And these are guys that only buy them the big ones, the big ones, one a year. And only one will, and that's because he already bought it because there was some sort of deal with his cable provider.
Oh, okay.
And then I followed up with, who would you have bought it for? And everyone said Connor, but then I said, hey, that didn't work. I'm sure they'd fucking tried. Who else? I got 3 Sugar Shans and 6 Stricklands.
Interesting. Yeah, it would have been tough. It would have been tough to do Strickland because it would, in the main event, it would have to be a title fight. And it'd be tough to do Connor for the same reason, you know, unless they did a 165-pound division, because you have Weili Zhang and Xianan Yan fighting for a title. So there has to be a title fight in the main event. Pretty much.
There doesn't have to be. There's not a law. I mean, I got in this sport right after 200, and even me, I've been looking forward to 300 because I was told it's like, you know, like when I was getting into it, like Conor Khabib was a huge fucking fight.
Yeah.
And it was like, I don't know. And then I started looking at what Dana said, and I started looking at the podcasts and stuff that we listen to, and he doesn't really do it as much. So I went and got a clip from, I think, ESPN. And this is the kind of shit that these casuals were hearing from Dana.
Mm-hmm.
UFC 299 is so stacked in Miami this March. And then you've got UFC 300 the next month.
Yeah.
People have such high expectations for 300 because you've set them for UFC 299 with what we're seeing on that card. What more is there to come for UFC 300? I know you've already announced 2 big fights this past week.
Yeah, I agree. And we were just talking earlier. I mean, if you look at what we got going on this year, you look at Anaheim is awesome. 299 is awesome. 300 is going to be – and you look at these all these cards that are stacked. 300 is going to be different because the first prelim of the night is going to make you go, oh, my God. This is the first prelim of the night. You have to watch the first prelim of the night. And in the United States, the entire card.
I agree, the card's awesome for people like us.
Yeah.
But UFC 300 is, they dropped the ball on having the biggest pay-per-view of all time. And I really think they missed the ball by not choosing a man named Sean Strickland.
Okay, so to rewind, the main event has to be a title fight. You can't have a title fight and then a non-title fight in the main event because that devalues the championship, which they already do enough of by promoting guys like Connor and, you know, guys because of their personality, not because of their fight records. They have to keep some sort of law and order. So in order to totally not devalue the championship belts, they have to have a title fight in the main event. And they can't have Weili Zhang and Xianan Yan main event. It's just not, it's not going to be a big hitter. Now, they may
neither here nor there. I mean, then don't put that, then move them off the card. I mean, make 300.
Yeah. All right, so I'll
take a shot.
For what?
They fucked up. I'm right.
No. They didn't fuck up. First of all, they made the best fight that they could make because they tried.
No.
What's the best fight they could have made?
Sean Strickland versus Ian Garry. Now, and I'm talking from a casual fan's perspective.
No.
The one that, the one, well, I mean, that's what they're all talking about. That's what everybody's talking about. I know that's bullshit. You know that's bullshit. But 300 is supposed to be the party. It's the party card. The one that everyone watches. The one that I can make a bunch of money off these guys.
Why?
Because I know.
Why is it supposed to be that?
Because that's what Dana built it up to be.
And it's an awesome card.
Yeah, from your perspective.
Look, they could have taken Wiley and Zionan off and made Gaethje and Holloway the main event. That's an incredible fight.
I mean, I agree. But Sean Strickland's really popular right now.
So is Alex Padilla.
No.
But Alex Padilla is a global superstar. He's popular in many countries. He already had a fan base coming from Glory. The guy is potentially going to be the first three-division champion in UFC history if he continues on the trajectory that he's on, if he's able to get past Jamahal Hill. Now, they haven't had time to build this up. This is also a grudge match. This is personal because Jamahal Hill defeated Alex Padilla's mentor and Glover Teixeira. So they still have time to build up that storyline. They just kind of threw it together, made the announcement. They haven't had the time to properly build this fight. And I think it's going to be good. You have Jamahal Hill, who's returning to claim his championship that he never lost. He willingly turned it in, which he didn't have to do because he hurt his Achilles. Now he's coming back to get it from the guy who he beat his mentor for the title in the first place. So it's personal. It's definitely a legacy fight for Alex Padilla because he's going to defend this belt again and possibly move on to collect a heavyweight championship if he's able to get past Jamahal Hill. And it's guaranteed fireworks. I mean, I don't see how this fight goes five rounds. Somebody's going to get knocked out. So how could they go wrong putting this as the main event? I think the issue is you set your expectations too high.
I don't think so, Bill. I mean, this is, everyone says that this double zero cards are the big cards. And like, there's going to be, this will not be even close to the most successful card ever.
Maybe not ever, but it'll probably be top card of the year.
Okay. Unless Conor fights this year.
So
if Conor fights this year, it won't.
I think that it's a big if.
If Conor fights ever again is a big if, but
yeah. And who knows? I think everybody was expecting this out of left field spectacle fight. So the expectation level was set so high that any regular fight was going to be a disappointment. And, you know, they tried to put on some super fights. They tried to get Islam versus Leon, which, you know, that's a great fight. Okay.
It's not a good, no, good
it's enough. Not, it's not, it's not a spectacle. Alex Padilla is a spectacle. This guy is absolutely terrifying. He's come into the UFC within 11 MMA fights. He's claimed two titles. And Jamahal Hill doesn't have much more experience. He's only got 13 fights, and he was able to win a championship. So which one of these guys is going to claim the throne here at light heavyweight? It's going to iron out a lot of wrinkles in this division and could potentially set up Alex Padilla for, you know, going down in history. I mean, he's already in an elite group of two division champions. He wants to go after that heavyweight title. I think he's one of the most interesting fighters to watch. One of the most exciting fighters to watch. He definitely made a big splash, coming in with the feud with Adesanya. So a lot of people, even casual fans, are aware of him. And again, they just kind of threw this together and they haven't really had a chance to build it up.
Well, to the casual fans, when I broke the news to these guys of the fight, is I had to explain it to them as the guy that is that knocked out Izzy versus the Blast champ, and they have no idea who Jamal Hill is. And Pierre is not a huge star with them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Oh, well. I owe you a shot. And one, two, or three.
Wait. I have one more point to make. So a fight out of left field, like, say, a Conor McGregor, it would have been a great, like, flash-in-the-pan fight. But my point is, as far as legacy goes, this fight matters more for the long term of MMA. And it matters more so than probably the main events of UFC 100 and 200. UFC 100 was Brock Lesnar, Frank Mir 2, which was a grudge match. Brock Lesnar was just a kind of a spectacle, like an experiment. He wound up beating the shit out of Frank Mir in that fight. But as far as MMA history is concerned, it didn't really matter that much. Brock Lesnar
was 200?
That was 100. Do you know the main event of UFC 200, what it was?
Amanda Nunes.
And Miesha Tate.
Yeah.
Now, it was supposed to be Jon Jones and Daniel Cormier, too.
Yeah, and so he ended up fighting Silva, right?
Yeah.
Look at that. Never even saw the event.
So I would say that in terms of legacy and in terms of importance, this fight is better than the main events of the 100 fights previous.
Yeah. Hey, I love the card, but I'm just saying from the viewpoint of the casuals, it didn't work. And they ain't buying it.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, then
for us because there's a lot of good fights. And 299 is awesome too. I mean,
they could have moved
299 to 300. In Miami, that would be a cool night. Yeah, that could have been 300. Maybe they should, I don't know, call tomorrow night UFC 299.
You know, if they mix and match a few things.
Yeah, I mean, Sugar Sean could, I kept saying Strickland, Sean could headline that show.
Yeah. If they put the Gaethje Holloway fight on 299, and what else would I move? I love the Padilla Hill fight.
Switch main events.
And
that would give, I mean, they're kind of screwing up 301 with this too, because he wanted to fight in Brazil and says he is, which that's crazy.
I mean,
but yeah. If they moved it to the 299, that would give him
imagine if he pulls it off.
Yeah, that'd be cool, but that's a feat.
A lot of these fights are deserving to be on UFC 300. I mean, look how many former champions you have on this card.
Yeah, the Poirier fight is a 300 fight. It should be a 300.
Former champions and probably a few future champions as well. I mean, you got Bo Nickel on this card.
Champion opening up.
Diego Lopez. Yeah, the opener now, it looks like they moved it around a little bit. It was going to be Cody Garbrandt and Davison Figueiredo. Now it's Jessica Andrade and Marina Rodriguez. So still a former champion opening the card.
Yeah, I guess us hardcore fans are going to have to hit the streets and sell this pay-per-view for Dana.
And the last point I'll make before you take your shot is, at least it wasn't Leon Edwards and Bilal Muhammad.
I mean, I feel really bad for Bilal. I kind of wish it was that instead.
I mean, he deserves it, but
he deserves it.
Like
that meme you made was hilarious. But man, I really feel bad for the guy because he seems like a great guy, and you know, he's entertaining as hell in the cage. I mean,
I'll just put it like here's. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. Bilal Muhammad is like the Nickelback of MMA because
Nickelback or Creed.
Yeah. Here's Nickelback just minding their business, putting out a few hit songs, and then somebody just decides like they're gonna be the butt of the joke, right?
Yeah.
Like at some point Nickelback just became that. They're just out there making music, like trying to live
awesome
their dream.
Band.
And well, I wouldn't go that far.
No, they got some songs, man.
They got a couple toe tappers, but I wouldn't call them an awesome band.
Well, speak for yourself.
We'll save that. We'll save that hot take for another week. But Bilal Muhammad is the Nickelback of UFC. He's just out here fighting fights. You know,
that's a hot take.
He's had some, and people just decided, like, all right, let's hate this guy today. And then it becomes a mob mentality of like, all right, let's all decide that this guy sucks and let's root against him, like, achieving his dreams.
All right, I'll take my shot. I think you should take one with me because I was right. We're both right. When you first saw that, your initial reaction wasn't like, oh, that's the perfect fight.
So I didn't actually see it. I heard about it when you texted me because I went to bed right at the end of the main event of UFC 298, and you texted me the next day. I forget, you were casually saying something about it, and I was like, oh, I didn't even know they announced that.
I didn't either. I found it in the morning. So that's how much I was up until 4 in the morning on Saturday, and I didn't hear about it until the next morning.
I thought it was cool. I love the fight.
Okay.
But well, I wasn't expecting, like, you know, Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant out of left field. Like, you know, I wasn't expecting they were going to bring, like, Fedor out of retirement or bring in, like, Brock Lesnar or, like, anything ridiculous like that. I knew it was going to be just a regular title fight. So my expectations were at a certain level.
Okay. I have Deep Eddie Lemon.
Oh, that sounds gross.
Austin, Texas.
All right, I'm reaching into my bag of tricks here. I've got, Jim Beam Fire.
Oh, good. Mine is distilled 10 times, made with real lemons, and gluten-free.
Well, it sounds healthy. It's practically a smoothie. All right, you go first since you lost.
This is probably not going to be that bad.
It's probably going to be like lemonade.
Okay, it's not that good. Oof. Tastes like 2006.
Oh, this is going to be bad. It smells like Red Hots.
I like Jim Beam. That's bad. That's all right. Just drink it.
I don't know. The orange.
Suck it up.
The orange one was terrible.
Suck it up.
All right. All right. It's not. It's the best bad shot I've had since we started this show.
It's all right.
It's like Fireball, but not as syrupy.
Yeah, you can't never go wrong with cinnamon or anything.
Yeah, I mean, I just wouldn't go out of my way to drink this because I'm not in college anymore.
Okay, it's been 23 minutes. Let's talk about this week.
Yeah, all right, UFC Mexico City. So Mexico City is always a wild card in itself. Because of the elevation and how it affects fighters. I mean, Cain Velasquez is the best example because when he went out there against Fabricio Werdum and he didn't go out there to like the week of the fight and didn't acclimate. And then it didn't go well. Was it Werdum or was it Junior Dos Santos?
You want me to Google it?
I don't know. I all I can think about is the hot cinnamon breath I have right now from that Jim Beam fire. All right, so while you Google that, let's talk about the main event, which is another rematch. We've been talking about all these rematches, Brandon Moreno and Brandon Royval. So Royval coming off the loss against Alexandre. Well, they're both coming off of losses to Alexandre Pantoja. So I guess we're just left with this weird, like, triangle of flyweights because these guys are in the main event. So I guess they're going to fight to see who rematches Pantoja, even though Brandon Moreno's lost to him twice. So Moreno has a win over Brandon Royval. They fought, I think it was just like right before COVID.
Yeah, but it was a TKO, but it was a shoulder thing.
Uh-huh. So what are the odds and who do you have?
Moreno's a minus 300. Brandon's plus 225. I was kind of really surprised by these odds. And well, plus 225, 2-1. I mean, that's a lot.
You figure the odds makers are looking at the fact that Royval just got dominated in his title fight, and he lost the first round TKO to Moreno. So I guess that's where they're getting the numbers from.
Verdum.
It was Verdum. Okay, I was right. I'm right sometimes.
June 13th, 2015.
Damn, I'm old.
You ever been like to Mexico City?
I've never been to Mexico City, no. I've been to Playa del Carmen.
Anyway, I'm not confident on much of this card.
So who are you going with? It's pretty big odds gap here.
Yeah, I think I'm going to just – been losing money. Let's pick some dogs.
We got to have a sound clip, like who let the dogs out when you pick an underdog, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe not something that obvious. I'll leave that up to you. But, all right, so you're going with Royval. How do you think he gets it done?
I don't know. Violently.
You got to remember, part of the reason that Moreno is a big favorite, too, is he's like a superhero in Mexico. I mean, this guy was the first Mexican-born champion the UFC has ever had. He's going to be...
Can I not bet? Can I not like not pick a fight? Like, I don't think this is a good, like, if I bet on Brandon, I'll make 30 cents.
I'll give you one, but I think in the future, if you abstain from picking a fight, it's a shot.
Oh man.
Okay. I'm going to have to
read. I was going to try to abstain for two, but I'll take that. I'll abstain from this fight and I'll pick this other crazy ass fight. But
I'm going to have to restock your shots. I'm going to drop them off this weekend.
Yeah, I got two left. All right.
All right. So you're abstaining from the main event?
Yep.
I'll make a pick then. I think Moreno wins.
Okay. If you want to give me a buck, you can maybe make 30 cents.
I'll give you that buck. I'll put it in the bag of your shots that I drop off this weekend.
Let's talk about the real main event.
I love this fight. I'm way more excited for this one than the main event.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're Rodriguez and Brian Ortega in a rematch. Last time they fought, Yair Rodriguez submitted the Gracie combatives specialist.
That's Brian weird. Ortega. That's weird because I watched that fight this week. And it's listed as a TKO and not a submission,
right? Yeah,
so there's discrepancies there.
It should have been a submission.
What was a TKO?
Yeah, well,
he
couldn't continue because he didn't know how to defend an armbar, pulled out of it too fast.
Mr. Jackpots.
I love how when I put that in the AI last week, it spelled it jackpots, J-A-C-K, and P-O-T-T-S. So I just left it that way because I like the play on words, Mr. Jackpots.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
What is that even from?
Don't know. Maybe some of the audience could tell me. I haven't Googled it, but I like it. It sounds neat. So I'm a little biased with Brian Ortega.
Yeah, I'm a little biased against Brian Ortega.
There's a way you can make the argument that he's a teammate. I'm a member of a Gracie combative school, and I think Brian Ortega is going to finish this fight with Gracie combative number 5.
Which is what?
Guillotine.
Oh, that's Gracie combative number 5?
Yeah. I asked Ben tonight.
You asked him what a guillotine was and
what number it was.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, it makes sense because it's like the fast food of jiu-jitsu. So you pull up to the window and you order a number five, and it's a guillotine.
It's more involved than that. You know, I guess I'm coming out as a Gracie University student about 3 years now, and
What's your combatives rank?
Oh, a purple belt, Bill.
No. Combatives. Which combatives belt do you have?
Well, the combatives belts, you get a combatives belt way before a purple belt. So I'm a purple belt.
So you have one? Can you show it to me?
No, I have a purple belt. I don't have any other belt than a purple belt.
Oh, so you don't have a combatives ranking.
That's not how it works, Bill. Combatives is after white belt. Then you go blue belt. But anyway, the odds on this fight's -160 for Yair. Ortega's +125.
Yeah.
I'd say those odds are fair.
Yeah, I mean, given that Yair won the first fight, and I believe they're both of Mexican descent, but Yair is actually from Mexico.
Yeah, well, actually, another thing going against Ortega is Yair actually lives in Mexico, lives and trains in Mexico City.
Right. So probably against anyone else, Ortega might be the favorite, but against an actual Mexican-born Mexican.
Yeah, I actually took a clip from Ortega's press conference.
Do it.
The rebirth is a nature process that the ego goes through. And it's something that fell very close to heart to me. It's something that, it's some difficult changes that I had to make in my life, my personal life, to be able to really live the rest of my life the right way.
He's talking about breaking up with Tracy Clinton.
And for those who don't know, that what the ego does is the ego lives for 70 years. At the 40-year mark, the ego loses the sharpness of its beak. The feathers aren't as good, and its talons are weak. So it has a choice.
So I have two thoughts with that. One, I never knew about this rebirth thing. I looked it up. That's real. That's some badass shit.
Yeah, it is.
But my second question is, how much did it cost to get that advice from your therapist?
You know, I actually recently heard someone else talk about the eagle rebirth thing recently. So this is actually like a trendy thing. And yeah, it probably did come from some kind of therapist. Side note, I don't know if you know this, but right over here on 9th Avenue, where I live in Safety Harbor, there's a phone tower with a bald eagle nest on top of it. And there's two bald eagles that are nested up there. And you can see them clearly when you're driving up to the phone tower. And they disappeared for like a couple of months. So I'm wondering if maybe they did this rebirth thing, because I used to look for them all the time. You know, every time I drove home, you'd see them up there and they look so fucking cool.
Yeah, those are big bitches, man.
Yeah. Have you seen this nest that I'm talking about?
I haven't seen the nest, but I've my coworker that lives by you always tells me about the big male they have. It's huge. You know, they're hunting eagles again in this country, because they're like so populous again, which is kind of weird. But
I mean,
we go to the dog park and I see these big owls, and I'm like, man, your chihuahua.
They could come.
Everybody's looking at the owl like, wow, look at the owl. I'm like, hey, get your chihuahua the hell out of here. Why do you think the owl's here? But
yeah.
Anyway,
I was. Another sidetrack. I was staying at an Airbnb one time upstate Florida ways, and they had a chicken farm, and I heard all these chickens making so much commotion in the morning. And I knew, I know chickens make a lot of noise in the morning, and roosters. But I was like, this doesn't sound right. So I went out, and like all the chickens were like scattered. They must have had 50 chickens. And I saw there were two hawks up in the tree, and I saw one of them swoop down and just grab that chicken and pick it up like it was nothing.
Yeah.
So I could imagine what like a big owl or an eagle could do to a small dog if they wanted
to. Imagine if dinosaurs flew. like they said, with feathers. I saw a condor in Yosemite one time, and that thing was not Yosemite. Zion National Park. They said it had like a 15-foot wingspan. I got back in the bus, dude. That was scary.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. I missed them when I was out there. I didn't get to see them for whatever reason. I think it was the time of day I was over there.
Getting off the freaking rails here, man.
Yeah, so you're going with Ortega.
I'm going with Ortega. So I can, it's plus 125 if he wins. I can boost it to 350 for win by submission, or we can pick the round and it goes really crazy.
Like how crazy?
I mean, it starts at triple better odds of a submission in round one, and then we go up plus 1400, plus 1700, plus 2250, plus 3000. But I don't think round four and five.
This is a five round co-main event. Yes. So I think his submission chances go up as the fight goes on.
I was kind of thinking three or maybe four.
I don't think he's submitting him in one or two. Three or four is a safer bet because Ortega doesn't have the greatest wrestling. He's gonna have to pull guard, and Yair's got enough to survive. He's got enough jiu-jitsu to survive early on. In fact, he had enough jiu-jitsu to catch Ortega in an armbar in their first fight. So he's got more jiu-jitsu than we're even aware of. You would have thought if Ortega got on top, it would have been a done deal.
My yard chair quarterback mind says that wasn't a very good armbar.
Yard chair quarterback. I mean, it was good enough to separate his shoulder.
I think Brian Ortega separated his shoulder.
Yeah, because he was trying to pull out of a tight armbar.
I think it was a tight armbar at the end of his hand, not at the hips, but that, never mind.
Either way, it was there.
All right. It's my, what's that called?
Mr. Jackpot.
Mr. Jackpot. I'm going to put a dollar on the third and the fourth. $2.
Wow. You're really siding with your combatives brother here.
I'm not siding. I put $5 on that kid I had no idea was last week, and he lost, which I didn't put into my tally because that was my Super Bowl winning, so who cares?
Mm. Okay. All right. Daniel Zellhuber and Francisco Prado.
I don't know who these guys are.
So Zellhuber is a young kid. He's coming off a submission win in his last UFC fight against Christos Giagos. He also has a win over Lando Venata. Only one loss in the UFC so far.
Oh, I watched that Venata fight.
Yeah.
I remember watching that fight and going, why the hell is this guy all the way up here?
Yeah, Zellhuber is a good young prospect.
So they're bringing Prado in to get his ass whipped.
Well, no, Prado's another young prospect. He has a win. Over,
but I mean,
he knocked out Otman Azaitar in his last fight. This kid's 21 years old. He's from Argentina. His only loss is to Jamie Mullarkey, and he went the distance with him. Give me the odds on this one.
Which one's the Mexican?
I don't know if either of them are.
Well, it's Zellhuber's plus 275.
Yeah, Zellhuber is the Mexican.
Okay, plus 210.
Oh, and his nickname is the Golden Boy, just like Oscar De La Hoya. All right, who are we going with?
You pick.
I'll go Zellhuber.
Man, boring. All right. Next.
Well, I mean, you asked me to pick. All right, Raul Rosas Jr., who is definitely of Mexican descent, and Ricky Tercios.
So I know who these guys are.
Right.
Ricky Tercios hasn't fought in a while, but if you remember, his last fight, he had a really cool speech with Bisping.
I did this for you. Yeah, you watching right now on the TV. You know what I'm saying? And all I say to you is I hope you chase those dreams with a burning desire. With a burning desire, and through all the fire, and through all the flame, and through all the pain, I hope that you find happiness deep in your heart. I wish nothing but prosperity and abundance in your life. Much love.
Beautiful.
So that was pretty cool. That being said,
he's much easier to understand than Rojas.
Yeah. I think he's gonna have his hands full. He, you know, I watch his fights. He's tough as hell, but he kind of fights like I play jiu-jitsu. Like, I'm okay to sit to my butt. I accept the sweep. Like, he's just gonna let you beat on him, and I don't think that's a good idea to do with Rosas Jr.
No,
I
mean, it's not.
So I'm gonna pick Rosas Jr.
Boring. You just said the same thing I did. You picked the favorite hometown.
Hey man, good. We're giving each other shit.
All right, we're both boring. I would love to hear Raul Rosas Jr. pronounce abundance.
But I will gladly lose my one fucking dollar to see Tercios just take him out. But I will be rooting for that outcome.
Flying triangle.
Something. I don't know. Something crazy. Tercios is all beat up. It just comes back, and I don't know. I think he, and then he gives an epic speech. I don't know who the commentators are, but
You know what I want to see in the UFC, and it's been my goal lately to submit somebody with this in jiu-jitsu. I've been on a mission. Is just the muffler where you cover somebody's mouth and nose with your hand until they tap, which I've done before just to like fuck around, but I would love to see that in a UFC.
Yeah. Is that allowed?
Yeah.
I use that all the time. I use it at, that's one of those things that I expect once I use, I'm going to start, it opens up other things like getting jabbed in the ribs and like it just.
So it used to be used in the UFC quite frequently and not as a submission, but more, you're just disrupting the breathing of your opponent. Like I use it on higher belts in jiu-jitsu and they start spazzing out because they're not used to it. They don't know what to do there. And they start just seizing up.
Yeah.
And that's exciting to me.
Yeah. The more kosher version of that is Rob Khan shoulder pressure. I mean, I put shoulder pressure on some people and they're just like, what the fuck is going on? Like, they don't understand what's going on.
It's nasty. I like how your dog Darsh just made a cameo there. Just kind of casually propped himself up in the background and posing for the cameras.
Oh, I can see it now. It's on the other screen.
Those of you who are audio only, you're missing out on this this dog cameo.
Yeah. Darsh is a neat guy. Terrible name for him. Very, very short legs. He wouldn't have a very good Darce.
He's like me.
Yeah, your Darce sucks too.
I show him my short arm Darce. I have one.
Oh, I wouldn't know.
I probably got you in it.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I will now. All right. Let's see. Yasmin Yaragui against Sam Hughes.
So this is the other fight. I don't know who in the fuck these people are. Crazy odds. Sam Page Hughes is a -600 favorite.
Wow.
And this poor Yasmin, which I would imagine is a home fighter, is +400.
That's interesting.
So I'm picking the +400.
Yeah.
Why not? I don't know who it is.
Let the dogs out. Well, yeah, I mean, Sam Hughes, good fighter, but...
Watch and learn. I'm about to drop a big dick on this room.
Get fucking ready.
I feel like this is a mistake. I would put money on this immediately. Because Sam Hughes...
And both these, they're veterans.
Sam Hughes is a good fighter. She's got four losses in the UFC, and outside of the UFC, she got submitted by Vanessa Demopoulos. Yeah, I like that underdog play right there.
Like the Bills booster?
Yeah, let's put a Bills booster on this one. This is the Jim Beam Fire pick of the week. Yasmin Yaraguay.
Bills booster. Sam, I like that.
Bills booster.
I don't have to start like...
That reminds me of you ever see Jingle All the Way with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sinbad?
I don't think so.
Oh, it's a great movie. I just showed it to my daughter for the first time this Christmas season. It's basically Arnold Schwarzenegger plays this dad who's a workaholic and he never pays attention to his son. And his son really wants this action figure for Christmas and he never went out and bought it. So the whole movie is him like trying to get it last minute. And he keeps running into Sinbad, who's a disgruntled mailman who is also trying to buy the action figure last minute. And they keep bumping into each other. And Phil Hartman plays Arnold Schwarzenegger's next door neighbor, who's constantly hitting on Schwarzenegger's wife. It's a great movie, but in any case, the action figure is called Turbo Man and his sidekick is named Booster. So I just remember the line from the movie, Sinbad saying, "Nobody likes you, Booster." So that's what that reminded me of when you said Bill's Booster.
Oh, we need to, what's that website? Fiverr. We need to get a soundbite for Bill's Booster.
I think anyway. You should use this Sinbad clip from Jingle All the Way. Nobody likes you, Booster.
Okay. There's one more fight on this main card.
All right. Manuel Torres and Chris Duncan. I wonder which guy's the hometown guy. I think Chris Duncan might have been born in Mexico City. Who are we going with here?
Duncan's a plus 145 underdog. These are just two guys both coming out of the contender series. I don't know how anybody can really pick this fight. We're trying to make money. Let's go with the underdog.
Sorry, which one did you say was the underdog?
Duncan.
Yeah, I gotta say I don't like his chances because he's fighting a guy who is from Chihuahua, Mexico. Probably is going to be able to better acclimate to the elevation than a guy coming from Scotland, where I don't think they have a whole lot of elevation. So just based on that, I would go with Torres.
Okay, so we'll test this thing we got going on. Every time I switched, I'm 0-2. We'll see if we go 0-3 this time.
All right. Let's see.
It sounds like fun.
Yeah, and let's see if I can end up in the over, like with a winning record by the end of the year.
Well, you're 0-2 currently.
All right. Now I have a goal. All right, Christian Quinones and Hany Barcelos. That's a fun fight. And not a whole lot of... Oh, Claudio Puelles against Farah Ziam. That's a fun one, too. And I just want to say this name. So the opening fight, Eric Silva against Mohamedjan Naimov. I just wanted to throw that out there. Get my John Anik pronunciation of the week.
Oh, you do that in like the shower or something.
All right. Mark Fells says that Duncan is from the Scottish Highlands.
Boom tish.
Boom tish.
What's that mean?
I don't know.
Boom tish.
So... All right, so the elevation in the Scottish Highlands, the highest point is 4,400 feet.
not nothing. It's much more than we deal with.
But the elevation in Mexico City, 7,300.
What's the elevation of where the hell is Ortega from?
L.A.?
L.A. It's probably 0 through 400, maybe.
305.
Yeah. I need to do, before I place these bets, I should do some internet sleuthing and find out when the hell he got to Mexico.
But don't worry, on his flight there, he's going to have one of those magic pillow headrests or whatever they are. What are they called? The magical airplane pillow.
Those.
What's it called? You probably had to buy one to get your combatives built.
No, I don't own a single piece of Gracie anything. I'm wearing, I chose to wear the Team Zapata because I don't have anything that says Gracie, but I don't have a bad thing to say.
I don't think I do either. I'm wearing my MMA on the Rocks t-shirt. So
I need a new one of those. When are you going to get a new design?
Maybe soon, but for now, you can get them at reaper1.co. All the links are in the show description. I think they're already there. So you can probably click on those now, get an over-the-top, under-the-influence t-shirt, tank top, or hoodie. I actually need a few myself because this one's a little large on me, so I got to get a different size. Maybe I'll finally get one of the hoodies.
Too late.
Too late for what?
I mean, we're on our last winter. We're on like our fifth winter of the year. It's going to warm up and we're going to be good. So I got a couple news things I want to bring up.
Let's do it.
Going back to UFC 300, surprise coach came back. Steven Seagal is a video of him training with Alex Pereira.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how this happens. What is that? Does he have some Brazilian connection or?
I don't know.
And like, I'm watching the video now and he's just like teaching Pereira some grab the wrist, grab the bottom of the elbow and twist.
Maybe he's going to teach him the muffler. Pereira over Jamal Hill by muffler.
Like what? And his big fat manager standing behind him, with two other guys, are sitting with their hands crossed. Hey, if this is the promotion you're talking about, UFC 300, you're going to take the shot because this is bullshit.
If Steven Seagal is involved, the meme opportunities alone are endless. There are still memes being made about Steven Seagal coaching Anderson Silva, and saying he taught him the front kick that he knocked out Vitor Belfort with. He probably still believes to this day that he taught him that.
Maybe. And then another weird story that popped up this week is apparently Putin gave Khabib $20 million in property for beating Conor McGregor in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird.
Now, do you think it's true, first of all? And do you think Khabib accepted it?
Oh, I think it's true and he accepted it. But I don't know why we're talking about it now, because this is 6 years ago.
Yeah, why would it come up now? Probably because Putin just caused like a power and phone outage across the United States.
I don't think so, but we're not talking about that. I'm telling you that's a different podcast we do on Monday or Tuesday. We don't talk about that now.
But it's the Bill Booster number two of the week.
Okay, so the only other thing I have is we talked about Strickland. There's been some weird things going on with Strickland.
Like what?
So we saw him. The first thing, did you see the video of him sparring Sneeko?
Yes.
You're okay with that, right?
I don't give a shit.
It was fine.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen little rat bastards get take worse beatings than that in the gym.
Yeah. All right. So then you saw the little Machine Gun Kelly thing.
Yeah.
And this actually hits a little close to my heart because if I happen to have a Machine Gun Kelly tattoo on my arm.
Well, I can't see because of your boom mic. Still can't see it. Okay.
Anyway.
What does that say?
It's established 19XX. That would be my... I'm 22, drunk and Ebor, and I'm going to get a tattoo. And I just saw Machine Gun Kelly, and that's going to be my tattoo.
Okay.
But it seems... When I fell in love with Machine Gun Kelly, and what Machine Gun Kelly has came into now is... A little different because he's, well, I guess you'd say he's made it.
Uh-huh.
And Sean Strickland ran into him at some, I think the Power Slap event. And Sean did his thing of, I don't like you, you're a zombie, or calling him a, you know, he just messed him up.
Okay.
Verbally. And it seems like Sean has started to lose sponsorships because of it.
Hmm.
Like he was supposed to, I don't know, Cowboy, there's this big Nitro Circus race coming up and Sean was supposed to be a driver and they dropped him because of PR reasons.
Hmm.
And it's either because he beat up that kid Sneeko or this thing with Machine Gun Kelly.
So they haven't dropped him for all of the, you know, homophobic comments and all the transphobic stuff and all that, but because he beat up a YouTuber who kind of asked for it, and because he got in the face of a rapper.
I think the rapper is the one. I don't think no one I've talked to has been upset about him beating up that guy because everybody goes, well, he could have really killed him if he wanted to. Like he didn't.
Yeah, I don't think he was really trying to hurt him, to be honest.
No, I mean, to me, it looked like just a guy that. It was just a sparring session that at the end, Sean wanted to show him what was possible, and he didn't even go what's really possible.
No.
He just was like, but I can put it on. I mean, did you see the video of Sean wrestling the dude at Big Bear?
No.
Oh, you have to see this. Yesterday he was snowboarding, and apparently a fan challenged him to a wrestling match, so he just... took his board off and they wrestled on the side of the mountain.
Jeez.
So I'll play it. Here's a little bit of Sean. He's upset because he's been really looking forward to doing this off-road race that he's not allowed to do anymore. And this is just him. He explains it. I've clipped it way shorter. This is just him. Here we go.
I know who these fucking jerk-offs are. Go look at any sporting event. They're the ones in the front row seats who are given fucking $1,000 tickets while you are made to buy a $500 nosebleed ticket. You are fucking used to prop these cunts up, and yet these cunts who have a little bit of fame because they preach on TikTok are given front row seats. Fuck it, guys. I don't want to be in the fucking circle jerk. I don't give a fuck. Give me a fucking nosebleed ticket with you guys. I'll be fucking way happier. Fuck them.
Hmm. I mean, he makes a good point. You know, I've heard several people telling me, yourself included, how they want to go to UFC 299 in Miami because it's pretty close to, you know, it's like a 5-hour drive from Tampa. But the tickets are ridiculous, and probably because, you know,
That's going to be full of all of those people.
Yeah, the close-up tickets that are really expensive get given to celebrities and they get comped. So they got to make their money back on those. So the nosebleed tickets, which are supposed to be the affordable seats, you know, I've gone to UFC events and sat in the nosebleeds for $30, $35. Those days are long gone now.
Yeah, the cheap. We looked up the cheapest option and the best option, And for us, the cheapest option with the hotel and the gas is around $2,000. And the best, most reasonable option is around $5,000 to $6,000. I've never been to a UFC pay-per-view, but I don't think it's worth $6,000.
I went to a UFC pay-per-view in another country, and I didn't pay close to that. I went to UFC 93 in Montreal. Drove up there, got a hotel, stayed probably 4 days. And the tickets to the event were, I had pretty good seats, probably $65. Now this was UFC 93, so this was back in 2010, maybe somewhere around then. Yeah. And I wound up getting to sit really close to the cage because during the Anderson Silva Talis Latis fight, which was the main event, people were so pissed off they were leaving. So I got to move down like right up close to the cage because Talis Latis just kept pulling guard. So people left like halfway through that fight.
Yeah. I don't want to pay that much, Bill.
I don't blame you. I wouldn't either. I mean, I think everybody should go to a UFC live event. It's definitely a great experience, but like having been to a bunch of them, a bunch of fight nights and a bunch of, actually, I think I've only been to two pay-per-views. Yeah, I prefer to just watch at home.
I'm just looking forward to the first official BKFC press event for us. 'Cause that could happen.
Actually,
that won't cost too much.
Actually, another news. What are you sipping there?
Heaven Hill.
Oh, nice. Good choice. They just announced BKFC is coming back to Tampa Friday, April 12th. And on that card is going to be my buddies, J.R. Ridge, who's been on this show many times, and Mike Heckert, who you guys may have seen me interviewing after his BKFC debut. So he's going to make his second walk for BKFC here in Tampa, Friday, April 12th. So I definitely plan to be there covering that event. I don't think they've announced the venue yet, but it's probably going to be at the fairgrounds.
Hopefully it's at the casino, because the casino just opened up. Roulette and a bunch of cool shit.
It could be at the casino, but the casino event space is small. It would be cool if it was there. I have to be on a flight that Saturday at 6 a.m.
We'll take you from the event to the airport.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I might just get a hotel at the airport because I definitely want to go. Like, two of my buddies are going to be on that card at least. I'm sure Ryan Reber is going to try and get on that card. Maybe Dave Mundell will be on that card, but I know he's trying to get on the, well, I'm not going to say, I shouldn't say, I almost let it slip, guys. I almost let the cat out of the bag, but I'm not going to, because that's not a done deal yet. So you're not going to get that out of me. Nice try.
Hey, let's do it. I would love to try to interview some people. That'd be weird.
It would be weird. I think I would love to have you interview some people.
All right, Bill, I got to get the hell out of here.
All right. So that's that. I already brought up the merchandise, and I think that's all we got. So UFC Mexico City coming up. Let's see if Matt can break his bad luck streak, and if I can break my streak of changing his mind into actually picking some winners. And with that, until next time, cheers, everybody. Goodbye. I like the idea of doing the intro music.
I do too.
Can you play? Can you like fade it